Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Chavav. We will begin on Daf Chav Hey Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah begins by speaking about Hilchas Makvos. We know that the halacha is that if a mikvah to be considered a kosher mikvah, it has to have in it 40 saw. The halacha is that if before the mikvah got filled up with 40 saw of kosher mikvah water, three lugim of water that cannot be used for mikvah fell into the mikvah, that mikvah becomes disqualified, even if afterwards we're going to put in 40 saw. On the other hand, if the water that fell in is not mayim shuvim, as we're going to discuss in our shir, it's different type of water, then the halacha is that the mikvah will not become disqualified. Also, the halacha is that if the mikvah was a kosher mikvah, and then after we have a kosher mikvah, mayim shuvim fell in, then the halacha is that the mikvah is still kosher, unless it changes colors. Also, there's something known as temed. Temed is where we take water and put it on the sediment of wine or on the grape seeds. And afterwards, we filter the water, and the liquid that remains is called temed. As we begin producing temed, all it has is just the color of the wine, but it doesn't have the taste of the wine. After a while, it begins to ferment, and once it begins to ferment, that's when halachically it's considered like wine. And when the fermentation is completed, that's when the halacha calls it chechmetz. It was fermented and it has the halacha, as we're going to speak about, wine. And therefore teaches us temed. If we took wine, we took water and we put it on top of the great seeds, Achlai hechmet, until it fermented, the halacha is it has a status of water. And therefore, ein en nekech bekesef ma'ase sheni. The Torah tells us about ma'ase sheni proceeds, that a person could go and redeem the ma'ase sheni and buy with it foodstuff in Yerushalayim, as the pasuk says, Nosata kesef b'chol asher tava nafshecha, b'boka b'tzoyim b'yayin b'sheicha, b'chol asher tocha nafshecha. And the Chazal in Masechta Ervin, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, teach us this pasuk klal prat klal. The pasuk says, Nosata kesef b'chol asher tava nafshecha, is a klal. And then the pasuk says, b'boka b'tzoyim b'yayin b'sheicha, is a prat. Then the pasuk says, b'chol asher tocha sholcha nafshecha, is another klal. So this falls into the category of a klal or prat to klal. With our lachas, when we have a klal or prat to klal, yatadon elkeinah prat. Ma prat mfurish, pre mepri. Animals are born to parents. Anovim come from grapes. And it's all things that grow from the ground, because even animals nourish from the ground. So from here we learn that what may be bought with ma'ase sheni produce is pre gedulei karka, but mayim, water, cannot be bought from ma'ase sheni proceeds, because it's not considered gedulei karka. So we've learned that Rashi explains that the temet of our Mishnah was made through grape seeds. Many other Rishonim, Tosfos, and other Rishonim, the Ramban and the Rashba, say it's temet that was made from the sediment. And they explain that halachically there's a difference between the temet that's made from the sediment versus the temet that's made from the grape seed. The one that's made from the sediment is a subject of machloikis that is a chayiv ma'isris. But when we speak about temet shel chatzanim, everybody will agree that it's not considered wine. And that's why they prefer that explanation. But Rashi, as I said, says that we're speaking about temed of chartzanim. So here we're learning that until the temed ferments, it's not considered wine, it's considered water, and therefore can't be bought with Maaser Sheni proceeds. And similarly, the halacha is poisel as a mikvah. The halacha is that it will disqualify if you'll have gimel lugim of temid. The halacha is that it's considered like water. And since it is considered like water, then we learn what is the halacha of gimel lugim. Gimel lugim, that the halacha is that it will be disqualified a mikvah. Of course, there's a big discussion. When was that said? Was that said only in a case where we started with three lugim of water and we put the grape seeds or grape sediment into it? But let's say we only began with less than three lugim of water, and now we put into it these grape seeds, so or sediment. So we only have the three lugim because we have that additional ingredient in the water. Will that still be considered a gimel lugim shuvim or not? The halacha is that we know that every year, every person, every male over 20 years old has to contribute a machzor shekel, which we use for the kabbonis tzibur. The halacha is that the machzor shekel has to be pure. In those days, gold coins were not valuated because of their because what they represent. They represented a certain amount of gold, silver, whatever it was. And the Torah says, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Zeh Yitnu, and Chazal teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a matbeah shleish and showed Moshe Rabbeinu how the machzor shekel should look. And that's the type of machzor shekel, which of course when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a machzor shekel, it was perfectly pure. And that's the kind of machzor shekel that we have to contribute every year. And therefore, as Rashi explains our Gemara, when somebody contributes a machzor shekel, there's always a concern that it's not perfect, it's not perfectly purified, and we're not giving the proper amount to the machzor shekel. And because of that, Chazal said that every time one gives the machzor shekel, he should add a kalboin, which is a small amount of money, and that will make sure that you gave the proper amount for the machzor shekel. That's one pshat in this Gemara. The other pshat that the Gemara gives for giving the kalboin is because if somebody gives a machzor shekel, and the Beis HaMikdash, the administrator, has all these machzor shekel, which is a small coin, and it could easily get lost, what they used to do was that they used to exchange the machzor shekel into big coins, and that there was a fee to the money changer, and they didn't want that the Hegdish should have to take on the fee. So therefore, they had to add a cowboy to make sure that Hegdish didn't have any additional expense. So the Mishnah now discusses when is there an obligation to add a kalban and where is there not. So if a number of brothers inherited their father's estate, so before the estate is divided, the halacha calls that estate tfusas habayis. After the brothers divide the estate, every brother gets a share. And even there, and if afterwards those brothers who inherited assets from the father and divided those assets, go and recombine into partners, then that's not called tfusas habayis. That's called a shutfus. So says the Mishnah, Achim HaShutfim, if two brothers are partners and they're giving machzor shekel, so the halach is kishechayavim b'kalban, if it's a situation as we just described, that they divided the estate and now recombine, so that they're considered like regular partners. And if two partners contribute a machzor shekel, and they give a machzor shekel, then they have to give a kalboin like anybody else who gives a machzor shekel, two kalboins actually. But if that's how the halacha looks at that that situation. And the carbon, as we said, is a small amount of money. There's a machloikis, a mesech to shkolim. What is the carbon? Ramea says it's a mor kesef. Chum hold, it's a chatzimor. But the name carbon comes from the word kal, something light, something insignificant. So, but that's the amount that has to be given. Two partners each have to give their carbon towards their machzor shekel. But the other hand, peturim and masa behema. We know that every year the Torah says that we have to give maisa behema from our animals that were born that year, and they have to be brought in the base of Mikdash as a carbon. And the Torah says, the Gemara Masechta Bechairis, Daf Nun Vav on the base teaches us, the Pasuk says, Kol petah shegeh bebehema ashiyilcha, l'cha v'loy shashutfis. Partnership don't have to give maisa behema. So this is a situation that's considered a full-fledged partnership. And because the halacha considers this a full-fledged partnership, each partner will have to contribute the carbon, even if they're going to be giving one shekel together, but they won't have to give maisa behema. But on the other hand, kishechiyavim b'maisa behema, in a situation where they're obligated to give maisa behema, being a situation where it's just a tfusis abayis, they're just continuing the father's estate. So it's not a partnership. And since it's not a partnership, they have to give maisa behema. But since it's a partnership, peturim and a kalbim, because the halacha is that they don't have to give a kalbim, because the Gemara is teaching us a new halacha. And that is when somebody gives a machzor shekel on your behalf, then the halacha does not require that you give a kalbim. And therefore, that's the case. There is a machlokes rishonim. What does it mean when we say that when somebody else is contributing for you, you don't have to give a kalbim? Some say that they're entirely exempt from giving the kalbim, and some suggest that they don't have to give two kalbims, as is the case when partners give machzor shekel. But one kalbim will always be required. So the Mishnah began by differentiating between temed that was fermented versus temed that was not yet fermented. Says the Gemara, Mani Masnisen, we try to identify who is the Tan of our Mishnah, and the Gemara seems to say, Loi Rabbi Yehuda v'loi Rabbanan, our Mishnah is not considered consistent, neither with the opinion of Yehuda nor Rabbanan. The Tanya, the Mishnah tells us, Masechta Maaser, I'm a Tamid. If somebody's making Tamid, and he didn't take off Maaser, V'nosen Mayim B'midah, and he put a certain amount of water together with the wine sediment or the wine seeds, or Matzakadei B'dasai, and you find the same amount of water as you started. Potter, then you don't have to take off Maaser. Because even though this water now has the taste and the look of wine, since it's the same amount that we started with, so there's nothing new here. And therefore, there's no halacha of taking off Maaser. This is only, as we've been learning, Rashi explains, if you found the same amount of water as you began with. If, however, you find more, then the halacha is that you're going to Rashi says the Chachama will agree that you have to take off Maisa. The Ramban and the Rajba take a different approach, and they say that only if you find a significant amount more. That means if you started with 3 cups and you have 4 cups, that's when the Chachamim will agree that you have to take off Maaser. But if you started with 3 and you only have 3.5, the Chachamim will say that you don't have to give Maaser. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says you have to give Maaser, because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that right now we have something that looks and tastes like wine, and therefore it's considered wine. It's not water. It's considered wine. And once you have wine, you have to take off Maisa. So now, ask the Gemara, after having introduced this machloikis, the question is, Mani, who is the Tana of the Mishnah? Rabbanan, if it's coined, Rabbanafka of the Hechmetz. Rabbanan's opinion is that whether it's fermented or not, the halacha is, if you don't have, like Rashi explained, a significant more liquid than you started, it's not considered wine, and there should be no chiv and meisim. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, once you added the wine and it has the taste and the look of wine, then afkav d'loy hechmitz already has the din of wine and should be mechuyev and meisim. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Nachman, Am Rav Baravua, the machlokes, our Mishnah is the machlokes of Yehuda and the Rabbanan is b'shechech machlokes. The machlokes is that when it fermented, but in a case where it has not yet fermented, the Gemara is learning now that even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that it's not considered wine, and therefore since it's not considered wine, it's part of Maisa. If that's the case, Masnisan, our Mishnah now fits perfectly with the opinion of Yehuda. V'kenam Rabbi Yosef Chanina, and so did he explain, the machlokes of Yehuda and the Rabbanon is limited to a case when it was hechmetz, when it fermented. Before it fermented, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that it's not considered wine, and it's not chayiv, it's not considered wine, it's not and there's no chayiv of maisim. Says the Gemara first, v'amar Rav Nachman, amar Rav Avuah, temid, if we have the temid that has not yet fermented, and therefore, as we learned in the Mishnah, one cannot use Maisa money to buy that type of temid. Shalocha b'kesa Maisa. And somebody did use Maisa money for that temid. Ubsoif hechmetz. But then ultimately, it did ferment. The halacha is what he did, kana Maisa. The Maisa, it was considered a valid transaction. And the money is not have any more kedushas Maisa. We don't have to use that money for buying different maisa produce. However, as explains Rashi, if it did not ferment, so then that money still has kedushas maisa on it, and it could only be used to buy the type of food that you could buy with maisa protein, maisa proteins. My tama, what's the reason? Because since it ultimately fermented, igloy milsla mafrei de perihu, that's an indication that it was considered like a peri, and you could buy with it, you could buy it with maisa sheni produce. Ask the Gemara, based on this, Ella, what we learned in Masnis Dektani, hechmetz, only if the temed fermented. That's when I could use it, that's when I could use maisa sheni proceeds to buy. That's in when I could use the maisa sheni proceeds. Loi hechmetz, but if it hasn't yet fermented, I may not. Ask the Gemara, why is the Mishnah telling that? Why is the Mishnah passing that way? Shouldn't the halacha be? Dilma, should we be saying that ishafke, if you would have just left it, ultimately it would have been machmetz. And therefore, even though, because in most situations, the halacha is that we follow Roiv. And it was being spoken many times in our shiurim, particularly in this Masechta. And therefore, since we follow Roiv, in most cases it's going to be ferment. It's going to ferment. Isn't that enough to rely that it's good enough? Others have different pshat in the Gemara. Some, the Ramban seems to learn, why is the Gemara saying that it's in that if you use maisa proceeds to buy, it's not at all a valid transaction. Why shouldn't the Mishnah say we just don't know? Furthermore, that the Mishnah should have said, says the Ramban, that we should check and see what is the status of this temed. Amar Rabba, so Rabba explains that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where we don't have the temed. And the way the Rishonim explain, if we don't have the temed available, we could rely on Roiv, where in most situations, the temed will ferment. Our Mishnah speaking about a case, Shishayim Menu, where we have, Shishayim Menu because we have some leftover, and that leftover that we have, Loi Hichmetz, did not ferment, and therefore, since it didn't ferment, you can't use Maisa Sheni money for it. So the Chasam Sofer asks, why is the Mishnah, why are we taking that approach? why should we not say that even though it hasn't yet fermented, it may ferment? Says the Chasam Sofer that the fact that there was, what the Mishnah means to say is that since we have here some left over, the halacha tells us that since we have here some left over, we can't rely, and this is an important halacha, we cannot rely on roiv. What the halacha demands of us to do is wait and see, and when it's hechmetz, we'll know that the sale was valid, and until then, we cannot rely on that. Continues the Gemara. Rav Amar, Rava says, we don't have to explain that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where there was tamid left over and it didn't ferment. Even if it fermented, our Mishnah's position is that until it ferments, it has only the halacha of water. And if at the time you bought with Maisa Sheni proceeds this tamid that has not fermented, the halacha is that it's treated like water. And says the Gemara, Hamani, whose opinion does this represent? Says the Gemara, it represents the opinion of Reuchim ben Nurihi, the Tanan. As we said in our introductory remarks to the Shir, Shloshes Lugim Mayim, if we have three Lugim Mayim Shuvim, Chaser Kartiv, that is missing a drop, so we don't have a full three Lugim. Shanofel Atoichon, Kartiv Yayin. And now into that, we have a drop of wine that falls in. On Marein Kamar Yayin. And because the wine fell in, it looks like wine now. V'nafla Mikvah, and that Shloshel Lugim fell into the Mikvah. Before, as we said at the beginning, before it had 40 saw, Loi Paslua, because we don't have Shloshel Lugim. We need the halacha, we need that it should be full three Lugim, Amayim Shuvim. And we do not have here three full Lugim, Amayim Shuvim. The Miri does point out, however, even if you don't have three Lugim Mayim Shuvim, but because this mixture falls into what we have, it looks like wine, that would be a whole different consideration. But that's not what happened here, says the Miri. Shlosh Lugim Mayim Chaser Kartiv, the next case, where we start with three Lugim Mayim Shuvim, not full three. Shenochel Toch Kartiv Cholov, and a drop of milk fell in. Now we have Shlosh Lugim, and this Shlosh Lugim looked like water because it was milk that fell in. V'nafla mikvah, loy paslua. Because again, his opinion is that since I don't have shloisha lugim mayim, shu'uvim, the halacha is it's not considered like water. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. What do we learn from here? That only in a case where we started with shloisha lugim, that's not a full shloisha lugim, it doesn't disqualify the mikvah. But if we had shloisha lugim mayim, shu'uvim, even though wine fell into it and it fell into the mikveh, it will disqualify. Even though these three lugim look like wine. But we don't follow the look, according to the Rabbanan, the Chamim. We follow what the reality is here. And the reality here is that we have shlosh lugim mayim shuvim. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, however, disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's opinion is, hakol ha'olach achamara. We look at how it looks. And therefore, if we have three lugim, mamayim shovim, that have a cart of yayin fell into it, and that falls into the mikvah, but that shloish lugim don't look like water. They don't look like shloish mamayim shovim. They look like wine because of the color. And wine, as we said, does not disqualify the mikvah. However, if we'll have shloish lugim, that milk fell into him, even though, says Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, we didn't even start with Shloish Lugim. We were missing from the Shloish Lugim. And the way we got to the Shloish Lugim is because some milk fell into it. But still, it looks like water. And since it looks like water, even though it's not pure water, it has here milk to make it three Lugim. But if it looks like water, the Halacha treats it like water. So it turns out we have two machlokes. When we had three lugim of mayim shuvim and wine fell in, and and now that fell into the mikvah. According to the Chachamim, the mikvah will be possible because we have shloshe lugamayim shuvim. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the mikvah will be kosher because it looks like wine, and therefore it's not treated like mayim shuvim. In the case where, if it doesn't look like wine, everybody will agree. In a case where it looks like, since it looks like wine, it doesn't disqualify the mikvah according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, but the chama will be machmer. And the other hand, this is here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is mekel, and the chamam are machmer. Vice versa, when we had not three full lugim of mayim shuvim, and a drop of milk fell in, and now we have three lugim mayim with the milk, and it all looks like mayim. According to the chamam, the mikvah is kosher, because they didn't have shloshe lugim of mayim shuvim, and therefore the mikvah is not disqualified. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that locha views this situation like it's shloish shaluga mayim shuvim, because it looks like water, and the mikveh will be pasul. So here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is the machmer, and the rabbanan are the mekel. Lav. So now Rava makes his point. Lav omar Rabbi Yochanan. Hasn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri taught us the basa chazusas lina? We look what it looks like. Does it look like water, or does it look like wine? Hachanami. As far as the temen is concerned, the same thing. Zil basa chazusa. We look at how it looks. And therefore the Tanava Mishnah says the temid that did not ferment looks is water, and it will disqualify the mikvah. And if you buy with it from Maisa Shady produce, the transaction is not valid, even if it ultimately ferment. But now it looks like water. And the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says we look at how it is now. Since it tastes like water and it looks like water, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says it is considered water. And therefore, Rabbi Nachman holds like the Chachamim that we don't follow the Mara, and therefore the halacha will be, we have to see what it really is. The Mishnah follows the taste. So here we learned that we look at what it is, we look at what it looks like, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. What's going to be the halacha? The Cheshuki Chemed has a discussion where a drop of wine fell into water during the 9 days. And we know, of course, that during the 9 days, we're very careful not to drink any wine. What will be the halacha? So he says, he quotes the Shari Tshuva that brings a machloikis. What will be the halacha if some wine fell into a food on the 9 days? The halacha is that even though the Taz says you may eat that food during the 9 days. So therefore here too, it will be allowed to eat it. But the Eli Rabba takes a stricter approach, and that may be connected to the machlokes of Yochanan ben Nuri and Chachamim. Do we look at what it looks like? If it looks like wine, we have to treat it like wine. Or do we look at what it looks like? And if it looks like wine, do we look at what it looks like? Or do we look at what it tastes like? Says the Gemara, we learned that according to Rabbi Avua, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are disagreeing by temet shehechmetz. But temet shloi hechmetz, everybody will agree, is considered water. Says the Gemara, pleaded Rabbi Lazar, this interpretation of the Machlokes of Yehuda and the Chachamim is that we said is only by temet shehechmetz, but temet shloi hechmetz, everybody agrees is treated like water, is in disagreement with Rabbi Lazar said, because says the Gemara, the Amar Rabbi Lazar, hakol moedim, everybody will agree, shema frishin. The halacha is that when it comes to take trumas and maisras, we could take from one barrel on another barrel. Here, we can't take maisa from a barrel that wasn't fermented for a barrel that was fermented, because, or if we have two barrels that are not fermented, we can't take from one on the other, because we may end up taking from a ptor al achiv or achiv al ptor. And therefore, the only time we could take maisa from one barrel to another barrel It's only a case where chichmetz were already fermented. And therefore, it's certainly considered wine. What's the pshat? Says the Maksavar Abelazar's opinion, is b'shloi chichmetz, when it hasn't fermented, that's where we have the machloikas between the Chum and Rabbi Yehuda. But where fermented, everybody is going to agree that it's chayiv ameiser. And that's why Rabbi Avuah clearly disagrees with Rabbi Elazar. Because Rabbi Avuah said that the machloikas is only when they're fermented. When it's not fermented, he said everybody agrees that it's potter. And Rabbi Elazar says that when it's not fermented is where we have the machloikas. But when it's fermented, everybody agrees that it's chayiv. Furthermore, says the Gemara, v'at kalay mechayiv Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda that's strict about temet that didn't ferment, only in a case, says the Gemara, elamaneya bay, from this barrel on the other barrel. The reason that it could only be from this barrel on another barrel, for this barrel for itself, because we don't know what ultimately is going to happen. Alma, but to take from a barrel that from a different barrel of Tamid, loy, we should not take Meiser. Because Dima, as we said, we don't know what's ultimately going to happen. Maybe this barrel is going to ferment, and that barrel is not going to ferment. Vosla frushi, menachiv al aptor, menaptor al achiv. The aloha is that if somebody becomes Tamid, he goes to the mikveh. A person can go to the mikveh. Kalim can be put into the mikveh. But food cannot become tar by putting them in the mikveh. But there is one way that the law allows that water that became tamei can be made tahar. And that's through something that's called hashaka, that we put the water that's tamei into the mikveh. It comes in contact with the mikveh water. The law is that it becomes tahar by putting that into the mikveh. That is called hashaka. Hashaka means to kiss. By putting that water into that water, we're kissing, we're connecting them, and that's where it becomes tahar. But it's only because by water, because it's water with water. And what happens, according to Rashi, is that what happens is that the water that's tamei becomes bottle, becomes secondary to the water in the mikveh, and becomes all like one water. And the Rishonim Reb Chaim Brisker talks about this, especially it has the same taste, water with water. But in other beverages, wine, we can't say hashaka. So says the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, Tana bana temed ad shloi hichmetz. We have temed that hasn't yet fermented. It's treated like water. And since it's treated like water, what we just explained, hashaka will be effective. Meshika b'mayim. Doing hashaka will be an effective way of being metarit if it became tamei. However, mishichmetz, once it ferments, so then it's treated like wine. And as we just said a moment ago, by wine, hashaka will not be effective because the wine can't become bottled to the water of the mikveh. To which Rava says, Amar Rava lo yishanu, when the Chazal say that temed, when is the halacha that temed that did not ferment is treated like water and hashaka will work? Elishatim de b'mayim tahirim, that the temed was we used tar water to make that temed. However, and then this temed, even though it didn't ferment yet, nitmu became tamei, and that's when hashaka is an option. Avo temeimi kara. If we start with tamidiga water and then we put in the seeds or the sediment, then hashaka will not be effective, even though it didn't yet ferment. To which says the Gemara, also Rav Gvim Bei Kossel, Rav Gvim from the place Kossel, Amr L'Shmaitza Kamed Rav Ashi, said this halacha over to Rav Ashi, and he said, Maishna, what does the halacha differentiate between Tamei Mikara, that if it was water was tamei first, deloy, that hashaka will not be effective. The meaning, either the mayakiri, since the water is heavy, is heavier than the wine, and therefore the water is at the bottom of the keli, or pari, kofim aleil, and the fruit juice, the wine, is floats to the top. And therefore, the ashaka is not effective because the mikvah water is not touching the water, it's touching the wine. And that's why it's not considered an effective hashaka. So ask the Gemara if that's the way we're learning. If the same halacha should be nami, the halacha is that the same halacha should apply, that the water is on the bottom, the wine is on top, and that should prevent the hashaka from being a good hashaka. Ella, what do we have to say? Mavabali, the wine and the water get mixed up. And if that's the case, so it doesn't make a difference what's on top and what's on bottom. Hachanami, the halach should be mevalbali, that they're all mixed together. And since they're all mixed together, the halach is that, and we have water therefore on top. And since we have water on top, that's why it's going to be an effective hashaka. Our Gemara has been focused on temed, and what is the halach of temed? Is it considered water? Is it considered wine? Gemara said there's a difference of fermented or not. I saw that Reb Nasha Kleinzatzal in the Shaul Tshuvas Mishnah Halachas discusses what will happen if we have colored water, we have soda that is water with that has a flavor, a color attached to it. Will that be considered? Well, how would Halacha look at it? And he says in his mind, water that's colored is considered full-fledged water. It's not like temet that changes the water, that ferments the water. Here, halacha will be, he says, that it's treated just like water, and whatever halacha would be for water will be the halacha in this situation. Says the Mishnah, the halacha, as we speak about a girl and the development of a girl, so a girl, till she is 12 years old and brought to Sa'aris, the halacha is that she's considered a katana. Once she's 12 years old and brought to Sa'aris, the halacha will be she's considered a nara. And after 6 months, when she's 12 and a half, she becomes a begeris. And the Mishnah begins to identify what is the halacha regarding such a woman. So says the Mishnah, kam makom she'yesh mecher, wherever the father is entitled to still sell his daughter as a shivcha, and kanas. If this girl was violated or seduced, oynos or pitui, there's no chiyev kanas. The Torah HaKadosh says, ki imtza yishnara b'sula shloi rasa, v'tafsa v'shachim ima, v'nimtzu v'nasa ish ha-shachim ima, lavi anara chamishim kesef, if somebody violates a girl, he has to pay her knas of 50 kesef and take her as a wife if the father and daughter are agreeable. By mafuta, the Torah says, kifata ish besula shloi rosa, v'shachima kesef ish kekamayil habesulais, it's 50 kesef, and the difference is that by oinus, you always have to pay the knas, even if he marries her. By mefati, you only pay the knas only if she doesn't agree to marry her. But a girl who's a katana, there is no knas, because the Torah said, as we just read the pasuk, lavi hanara, to only vi hanara. The kamakum sheyesh knas, wherever it is knas, that means if the girl is a nara, a mecher, then the father cannot sell her. And the reason the Gemara explains why a father can't sell her, because the halacha is a girl who is a nara, if she's a shifcha, goes out free. So certainly she can't be sold as a shifcha at that point. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, what our Mishnah said, that a ketana, there is no knas, Zudivere Meir is the opinion of Meir. The opinion of the Chama is, sheyesh knas b'makam acher, that even though the father could sell this girl as a shivcha, he's also entitled to knas. And says the Gemara of the Tanya, so have we learned in the Braisa, ketana mibas yoimecher, a girl for when she's 1 day old, v'at she tovish tei saras, until she's 12 with tei saras, yesh lemecher, can be sold as a shivcha, vein like knas, but she's not entitled to knas. Mishitavish de saras vach tibogar, for when she's 12 or 2 sires until she's a begeris, yesh like knas, vein like mecha divere meya. Shayer meya aimer, kamak mshesh mecher, wherever a girl could be sold, because she's a ktana, and knas. Vakamak mshesh knas, a nara, who's entitled to knas, a mecher, the father loses the right to sell her. A girl for when she's 3 years old, so she's a woman that could have bia. Until she becomes a begaris, yesh le knas, she is entitled, there is knas. So we see from here that the opinion of the Chum is that there is knas even by ketana. Ask the Gemara, knas in, does that mean that there's knas and therefore she can't be sold? And we know that the Torah, of course, tells us that a father can sell his daughter. So it says the Gemara, Ema, the way to understand, Af Knas for Mekha Mecher. She's entitled both to Knas, if she was whatever, the Oinus of Pitui, and she's entitled, and the father has the right to sell her till she's a Nara. The halacha is that only a father, as we've been discussing, has the right to marry off his daughter. If the father dies and the daughter is still a ketana, only a father can marry off a girl when she's a ketana. If the father dies, Chazal gave a special right to the mother and brothers that can marry her off. But since it's only a kedushi de rabbanon, the halacha is that till she becomes a nara, she could do miyun, which means to annul the marriage. And as the Gemara explains extensively in Masech the Yevamis, she just walks out of the marriage without a get. So it says the Mishnah, Kamak M'sheish Miyun, that means whenever there was a Kedusha D'Rabbanon, and she did not bring Shtei Saris, Ein Chalitza. The halacha is that a woman whose husband died without having children, the brother could do Chalitza, but Chalitza is only valid if the girl is already a Nara. So here, since she could do Miyun, so she is not able to do Miyun anymore, and therefore, if she can do Miyun, that means she's not yet a Nara, and therefore, Chalitza is not an option, but Miyun is still an option. There's a very interesting discussion in the Rishonim. What happens if the girl becomes 12 years old, but they never had bia? Most Rishonim are of the opinion that halacha is that she could not, that as long as there was no bia yet, even though she's already a nara, she could still do miyun. Rashi seems to learn that once she becomes a nara, she can't do miyun, even though she has not had bia with her husband since she became a nara. Kamakam shesh chalitza. But once Chalitza is an option, because she's a Nara, Ein Miyun, it is too late for Miyun. And there's another opinion that says that even if she didn't if they didn't have Bia, the halacha is Midrabonon, Midraisa, she could technically do Miyun, but Midrabonon she can't. It says the Gemara Amri B'dom Rav, our Mishnah, that once the girl is a Nara, she could do Chalitza, not Miyun, is Rameyer. Chamam Yesh Miyun Mimakam Chalitza. There is a situation where a girl could be able to do chalitza emiyun. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Mosai Abbas Mamanis, till when could a girl do miyun? Achitavi Shtei Saris, until she brings Shtei Saris. Diver Rameya. Yudaimer, no, it's a later period. Achiyira Shachal Olovin. She has so much Saharis in that area that it looks like it's full of hair. So according to Yehuda, she already bought Shtei Saris. So since she already bought Shtei Saris, she could do Chalitza, but she could still do Miyun until a later date. And therefore, according to Yehuda, there's going to be a situation where you could do both Miyun and Chalitza. The halacha, the minig was, or the halacha was, the Shulchan Aruch teaches us this halacha, incineration and Vav, that an Erev Shabbos, an Erev Yontif, they used to blow the shofar 6 times. Three times the purpose was to separate people from working, to working on Friday or Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif, and three were to say that Shabbos has begun and now it's time to treat it like Shabbos. The first tekiah was to stop people that were outside of the city from working. The second tekiah was to close the stores. And the third tekiah was to take the food off the fire and start putting the food away for Shabbos the way the halacha demands, and to light the candles. And then they blew tekiah, teruva tekiah, and at that point, it was Shabbos. So says the Mishnah, Kamak Mishesh tekiah, whenever there's a tekiah, when it's Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, where we blow the shofar for the purpose that we just described, ain't havdalah. We don't make havdalah. That means that we only make havdalah when we go from a higher kedusha to a lower kedusha, not when we go from a lower kedusha to a higher kedusha. The kamakim sheish havdalah, but when we make havdalah because the kedusha that we're going into, for example, matzah Shabbos, matzah Yontif, the halacha is that we make havdalah, and such a case, ain't tekiah, there's no tekiah. Tekiah is not made to show that we're going out of a kedusha. Tekiahs were made to show that we're going into a kedusha. So says the Mishnah, Yontif shechal liyos b'erev Shabbos, if Yontif falls on Friday, taken before Shabbos, we would blow the shofar to show everybody that it's time, that Shabbos is coming, and that on Yontif, oichel nefesh malach is mutter. Here halacha is that we're not allowed to do oichel nefesh. And even though normally, of course, we're not allowed to blow a shofar on Yontif, here we're going to allow it. The Rishonim explain, because otherwise we're concerned that people will not realize that Shabbos is coming and has different halacha. V'loy mavdilin, but if Yontif was on Friday, and we're blowing the shofar to show that Shabbos is coming, Friday night, when we say Kiddush, we won't make Havdalah. If Yontif falls on Motzoi Shabbos, Mavdilin, we say Havdalah both in the Shmoneh Esrei, and we make Havdalah Yak Nahaz, Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman, when we make Kiddush on Motzoi Shabbos, because we're going from a higher Kedusha of Shabbos to a lower Kedusha, because now we're going to be allowed to do Oichel Nefesh. Till now, on Shabbos, if somebody does Malacha, Rachman son is Chayiv Skila. On Yontif, if somebody does Malacha, there's only a Chiyiv Lav. V'loy Taiken, but we don't blow the Shofar Matzah Shabbos, because we're going from a higher Kedusha to a lower Kedusha. And on Shabbos, we weren't doing any Malacha, so that's why we're not concerned of what you're going to do, what you're going to continue doing. Says the Mishnah, Ketzi Mavdilin, what is the Nusuch of the Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos where Yontif is coming in? We say, Tanakama says, Hamavda ben Kodesh l'Kodesh. Rav Dosa Omer, the Nusuch is, ben Kodesh Chomer l'Kodesh Akal. Says the Gemara, Hechi Taike, how do we blow the Shofar when Friday, Erev Shabbos is Yontif? How do we show that these tekiahs are different from the normal tekiahs that are made every Friday? I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, tekiah, we blow one tekiah, Maria Matoch tekiah, and we do the truah before, immediately after we finish the tekiah, without any stop in between. Unlike on a regular Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, where we separate the tekiah from the truah. Rav Asa Matochei Maria, B'Neshima Achas. Normally, we blow shtei neshimas, we blow tekiah and truah in two breaths. This is one. Iskan of Asi, Behutza, Kishmatze, in his city, he did it. He said that the halach is that tekiah should be true and should be done on Erev Shabbos, which is Yontif, but tekiah achas. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, Yontif shchalis be'erev Shabbos, the halach is that if Yontif fell on Friday, tekiah v'leimurian, and you just said that we just do it differently. It says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Matarsal Tamei, Rav Asi Matarsal Tamei. Rabbi Yehuda Matarsal Tamei, Loi Marim B'fnei Atzmai, we don't It doesn't mean that we don't do trua. It means the mitoicha tkiya. We did the tkiya trua without stopping. We don't blow like we normally do with shtei neshimas, neshima achas. Much of Shabbos that falls on Yontif, we say, we don't blow, but we do say Havdalah. Says the Gemara, Heichi Amala, what is the bracha that we say? Amri v'du b'chsimasai. At the end we say, Kodesh l'kodesh. We say the regular Havdalah, but at the end we don't say Amadu ben Kodesh l'chol, we say Amadu ben Kodesh l'kodesh. Ken Amarach, m'b'chsimasai. Shish b'reid r'idi amal, ap b'psichasai, that as we begin the Havdalah, we don't say Amadu ben Kodesh l'chol, Benar l'choshech. We say Amadu ben Kodesh l'kodesh, Benar l'choshech. But says the Gemara, v'les ha'chosek v'asei. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says that the nusach is ben kodesh chom l'kodesh akal, but that's not the right nusach. The right nusach is v'les ha'chosek v'asei. Omer, Rav Zeir, yontif shechal yis b'emtzu Shabbos. If yontif came out during the week, Omer ha'amadu ben kodesh l'chol, Benar l'choshech, ben the same nusach that we say at a regular Motzei Shabbos, even though it's not Motzei Shabbos. My Tama, say the Havdalah Samoina. The Halacha teaches us that when we say Havdalah, we should say it that way. So there's an interesting question. On Yontif that comes out of Motzei Shabbos, our Gemara just said that the proper nusach is to say Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. What happens if somebody got confused and he said Ben Kodesh L'chol? It seems that the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal was that it's acceptable. But I saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Stipler and Rav Osner say that this is considered Mishanim and Matbeya Shed Tavu Chachamim. You're not allowed to change the Nusach that Chazal established, and therefore the halacha is that you're not yoitza. However, I saw a very interesting psak, that even though in this case, if you said Ben Kodesh L'chol versus Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, you're not yoitza, but what happens if in a regular Matzah Shabbos, instead of saying Ben Kodesh L'chol, you said Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, there are those poskim that say that you that maybe you would be yoitza, maybe with yoitza that have dollar. Hadron Allah Hakal Shachtim, Hadron Allah Hakal Shachtim, Hadron Allah Hakal Shachtim.